Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, and a happy Wednesday to you. I want to actually kind of piggyback off something we were talking about in the first hour. I was reading from the Washington Post, and they are dissecting this focus group or this autopsy that Democrats paid a lot of money, I guess, to find out why they're losing voters, especially young men. And the results were pretty obvious. Young men care about things the Democrat Party does not care about. Young men are sick of being villainized. I would say all men are sick of being villainized. And specifically what it talks about when it comes to Black and Hispanic men is they felt that the party was constantly pandering to them. And I wanted to play a sound cut here that I think also is highlighting this issue. Take a listen to Harry Enten on CNN. This is cut 7, please, Taylor.
And let's look at their net favorable ratings. Whoa, woof. I mean, my God. You know, we mentioned CNN. We had that poll come out a little while ago on their net favorable rating. They were 26 points underwater. You think that's low enough? How about we go even lower? We'll go to this side of the screen. I'm going to walk over here. We go to the Wall Street Journal. Minus 30 points, 30 points underwater. Their lowest on record. These polls have records going all the way back since the early 1990s. And when it comes to the Democratic Party's net favorable rating in both the Wall Street Journal poll and the CNN poll, the Democratic Party is breaking records in the way, Jessica Dean, you don't want to break records.
And that's why it's so amusing when you have like Jessica Tarlov or, you know, any of these panelists on Abby Phillips' show on CNN, you know, lecture Scott Jennings on Donald Trump's favorability ratings. And their obvious rebuttal is, what about yours? Like, are you really in a position to lecture anyone? Your poll numbers are in the tank and you don't seem to really be concerned about it, or you might be concerned about it, but you're not doing anything to right this ship.
Aren't you embarrassed?
And we've had conversations about, you know, where the fault lies or why this is happening, and authenticity often comes into play here. There's the fact that Trump and other Republicans like J.D. Vance were able to sit down with a Theo Vaughn or Joe Rogan and have authentic, real conversations about real things. They don't seem as obsessed and fixated on walking a line. And you know what, Taylor? Actually, we didn't end up playing this, but there was a cut of Barack Obama. He went on Michelle Obama's podcast and he was talking about men and he was talking about the importance of raising good men. And I thought it was really emblematic of the problem Democrats face, because listening to him give this response, he actually says that, you know, we need good men. And he's about to say, I think his natural reaction was, our daughters are someday going to need good husbands, or our daughters are going to someday get married. But then he stops himself and he immediately corrects that and says, not so that, you know, there can be, our daughters can marry them, or he kind of like works around it. And right when I heard that, I thought, there's the problem. You're so afraid. You're walking on eggshells. You're so afraid of throwing out a common sense, traditional hope and statement that you're going to be eaten alive by the mob, that you can't even say one of the reasons why it's important to raise strong men is so that young women have good people to marry when they get older and they have good people to help raise the next generation. You can't even say that because you're so terrified of the lunatics that have taken over your party and that that's going to offend the gender fluid, you know, section of the party that doesn't adhere to those norms. And I thought, this podcast is exactly what's wrong. You can't speak openly. You have to put in caveat after caveat. Caveat and all these asterisks next to everything you say so that no one gets offended and everyone feels included and no one feels like they're being attacked or they're being triggered. And that's part of the problem. But I think what's even more important or more more critical when it comes to one of the reasons why Democrats are cratering in the polls is because they are allergic to common sense. They are, common sense has no place in the current Democrat Party. It is unwanted. It is unwelcome. And they know that. And they know that. And they know that it's an impossible thing. It's an impossible thing to constantly be choosing the 10% of each battle and also claim to be an everyman or claim to be someone who appeals to the masses. You're just never going to win over an entire country like that. Here's a good example. This is Pete Buttigieg, okay? He's on NPR, which, you know, like I said before, when we cut their funding, thank God, I said they're going to be just fine because according to Dana Bash and all these other people, NPR is the most exquisite, stellar, genius programming known to man. It's fundamental for the man in rural America who needs to know what the weather is. It's fundamental for everyone, especially people who only get one channel on their TV. It is crucial to the infrastructure of the United States of America. When they stop getting this federal funding, they're only going to excel more.
Zero must be the number of the day.
Yeah. The free market is going to welcome them with open arms. And this Pete Buttigieg interview just goes to, that proves my point, I think, because this is exhilarating stuff. This is Pete Buttigieg on Men and Women's Sports, Cut 11.
When President Trump says something like, no boys and girls sports, which is a phrase that they use, it sounds like you're not signing on to that.
I think that chess is different from weightlifting, and weightlifting is different from volleyball, and you know, middle school is different from the Olympics. So that's exactly why I think that we shouldn't be grandstanding on this as politicians. We should be empowering communities and organizations and schools to make the right decisions.
That is such a cop-out of an answer. That is spoken like someone who, again, is terrified of the mob, and you cannot be terrified of the mob. You cannot be terrified of the pitchforks. And so you choose to stand for nothing. Because he says chess is different than weightlifting, and weightlifting is different from volleyball. How are they different? How are they different? They're different because there's different levels of physicality involved, right? And that becomes a factor because men are different from women when it comes to their physical makeup and the physical advantages that they have. So he's actually admitting in that cut that everything Trump has been saying is correct. He just doesn't have the cojones to say it out loud. He has to walk. He has to try to walk this tightrope. And the more they do that, the more they are going to repel any sort of normal voter. Now, the other story that kind of in a way ties into this, because I had mentioned in the first hour, I said I noticed that these liberals, these progressives, they tend to pick really niche controversies to be offended by or to dive headfirst into and to focus all their energy on. And one of these stories that has come across my desk, I've chosen up until this point to ignore it because it seems silly to me, but go figure, Taylor, my producer, wants to talk about Sydney Sweeney. No idea why that would be.
I don't deny it.
I can hear Matt laughing in the background.
Yes.
I can hear him. He's probably, I'm going to, you know, if I was a betting woman, I would say that Matt in the green room is probably a fan of Sydney Sweeney. And I just mean her acting. I just mean her work. I think he's probably a fan of hers. But let's give people a little bit of context, as the Cincinnati police chief would tell us. Context is important here. Sydney Sweeney is in this new ad. If you're not familiar with her,
she's the 2025 bombshell. She's the Marilyn Monroe.
Yes. She's got a great physique. She's very pretty.
Blessed, gifted.
Men love her. They love her. She actually, I thought she was good, Taylor, in that show. What was that show? Euphoria. Euphoria. I only saw a few scenes from it, but I thought her acting chops were just fine.
I've never seen her act, but I'm a big fan.
Yeah, so a lot of guys are, and it makes perfect sense to me. So Sydney Sweeney's in this ad for, I believe it's American Eagle. It's the clothing brand American Eagle. And this has sparked such a wave of backlash because of what the ad says. They do this pun on, like, good jeans, good genes. So it's genes like denim, and then it's genes like genetics. Sydney Sweeney's wearing good genes in the ad. She also, some could argue, has been gifted with good genes. She's been blessed with good genes, good genetics. And a lot of people are accusing American Eagle of, and Taylor, you step in here if I'm overdoing it, of like spreading Nazi propaganda.
Yeah, eugenics. I mean, it's white supremacy, saying that there's a superior race, a master race through a gene ad, which, I mean, if it's like when you get a new car, right? You start seeing that same car everywhere you go. If your new mantra is everything is Hitler, you're going to see Hitler everywhere you go. And that's what the left is seeing in these ads that are catering to young men. American Eagle is leaning into, hey, guys overall like women and they like hot women. And this is the hottest woman right now. Let's put her in these jeans and make a thing of it. It's funny.
Yeah. And Sydney Sweeney, to her credit, and I've seen plenty of think pieces on this, but she leans into it, too. That's one of her strengths.
Boy, does she lean.
All right. Keep it together there. This is a family program, you big sicko. But, yeah, she's in on the joke. You know, she's not someone who I think takes herself too seriously. And so this is the latest issue for Democrats. This is the thing. This is the hill they're going to die on, is that Sydney Sweeney is too good-looking, and therefore American Eagle said jeans and jeans. They made a pun. And so now all the Nazi hunters are out. And I said to Taylor, you wouldn't mind, but when Jews are getting gunned down in D.C., and when janitors are getting locked in closets in Columbia, and when the potential future mayor of New York City can't condemn Globalize the Intifada, and the latest hero on the left, Mahmoud Khalil, can't condemn Hamas, you don't hear a peep from any of these people. But they see an American Eagle ad that uses a pun on jeans, and they become Brad Pitt in Inglourious Basterds. They're hunting Nazis left and right. I haven't seen them this worked up about Nazi propaganda since Elon Musk was at that event. And, you know, he did the hand gesture in a way they didn't like. It's like the stupidest stories for them. That's when they all become really aware of anti-Semitism. That's when they really become aware of the dangers of certain rhetoric. But October 7th, you don't hear a peep from these people. American Eagle puts up an ad with Sydney Sweeney, and then there's a lot of backlash. And I should mention this about Sydney Sweeney, because I don't think everyone knows her full history. She came under fire a few years ago because she threw a birthday party for her mom. I think she's close with her family. That's another thing the left has no time for. They don't like that. You know, she's very close with her parents. She seems to appreciate time with her family. No good. Get out of here. So she throws this big birthday party for her mother. And I think it was like farm themed or hoedown themed or something like that. Country Western. And they're all in country hats and denim shorts and, you know, having a good time. And she posts some of the photos, like so many people do. Oh, such a fun time. It was kind of a carousel of different photos. And in the background of some of the photos, some internet sleuths discovered that people had on Blue Lives Matter shirts, or some of her family members had on what could be conceived as like Trump gear. I don't know if it was MAGA hats exactly, but something like that. And so she was already canceled for that years ago, or people tried to at least. She's too good looking to cancel. You know how they say too big to fail? She's too good looking to fail. So she was able to overcome it. But my point is, the knives have been out for her for quite some time. Like, she's had a target on her back since she threw her mom that birthday party. So this doesn't shock me now that they're coming after her. But it's all so ridiculous. And it goes back to the fact that none of these people can care about the things that Americans care about. They can't care about keeping communities safe, because then they might have to come out against illegal immigration. So instead, they're going to focus on Sydney Sweeney in a pair of jeans. Like, these are the issues that are moving them. They can't celebrate a good report on the GDP. So instead, Cory Booker is going to yell on the Senate floor about a police package being passed bipartisanly. That's what they're going to. And this is a black man who Taylor found on social media commenting on this Sydney Sweeney debacle. This is, let's play cut 9.
I mean, her features are what make her attractive. And knowing the ad, did they highlight that she was white, blonde hair, and blue eyes? Besides the blue eyes part, they did highlight that. But the jeans are blue, too, so they're playing on that, the color blue. But with this ad, people are acting like she's promoting eugenics. Like she's promoting white supremacy. Now, I'm no milk drinker, but I know an attractive woman when I see one. And newsflash, white women can be attractive.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
Ken Martin, the head of the DNC, if he has any hair left, he must be pulling it out. I would hope, because you spend millions of dollars on these studies trying to find out why are we losing young men.
And yet you have this
great unifier of young men objectifying women on TV where you can do it in secret and private and without any repercussions.
I wouldn't even put it in that negative of a light, Taylor. It's just like, you know, that paints it. Young men like Sydney Sweeney. They're fans of Sydney Sweeney. You can put it in a positive like that. That's something that connects a lot of these guys. And so now they want to cancel her. And they think that's going to be effective. They think that's going to get people on their side.
Just paint the most beloved upheld. It's not really on the same level, but painting Marilyn Monroe as a Nazi, as a sympathizer.
Yeah, I don't think you'd win over a lot of fans.
You wouldn't.
It's insane. And when we come back, we have more insanity, because I don't know if people saw this. Senator Chris Van Hollen is at it again with the theatrics. We're going to have more on this for you. And I have a rant to go on later that has nothing to do with politics. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
It's just really wild that, like, Sydney Sweeney, like, I can't even get it out. Sydney Sweeney is widely known for being a current sex symbol. But if she says it in an ad, it's white supremacist. American Eagle, how dare you use a young, hot, popular Hollywood actress to promote your dream, your genes, and talk about how hot she is. How dare you?
Yeah, this is going to be the end for American Eagle. I'm sure that they're never going to recover from this, from their vitriol and their hate and this horrible Nazi-like propaganda they're spreading by saying that Sydney Sweeney is attractive. Today's poll question is,
I'm never going to financially recover from this.
I have a feeling it actually might work out in their favor. Today's poll question is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson. The summer work season is here, so shop now at Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson, Mass. For a GMC Sierra 1500, 2500, and 3500 HD, go to TuxTrucksGMC.com. That's TuxTrucksGMC.com. Taylor, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurleyShow.com, is which legislator deserves the title of biggest goober? Cory Booker, Dan Goldman, Hakeem Jeffries, or Eric Swalwell?
I'm going to go with Eric Swalwell for those sketches or TikToks he was making for Fang Fang.
50% say Swalwell, 33% for Cory Booker, 14% for Hakeem Jeffries, and 3% for Dan Goldman.
A goober who's not on that list is Chris Van Hollen. We're going to talk about him when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I had spent a little bit of time on this story, this fake news story from the New York Times about the starving child in Gaza. And the picture, the shocking image, very, very sad. It turns out the child actually has medical conditions that are not mentioned in the original piece. And his brother, who's in the background, actually looks in much better condition. If there was starvation going on for these children, one of them is not starving and the other one is. And it's because they didn't reveal more information about this child's medical issues. And here's something that's amazing, and I mentioned this, but I didn't spend enough time or I didn't put enough emphasis on it. The New York Times has 55 million followers on Twitter. And that's where this original story ran in this picture. And you all know the expression, a picture's worth a thousand words. These pictures tend to spread like wildfire. And a great example is the Time magazine cover, the little girl who's being separated from her mom or from her family, and she's crying at the border, and how that picture was able to spark such outrage across the country. And then it turned out that it was completely fake, that the child was not separated from her family. She was shortly reunited thereafter. But because visual images can be so powerful, it's often a great means of spreading these lies. And so in this case, they have this picture of this little boy being held by his mother. They put it out on their New York Times account. They run the story on their account. 55 million followers. They issue the correction on their other account called New York Times Communications. Care to guess how many followers that account has, Taylor?
40,000.
Less than 90,000 followers.
Wow.
So for some reason, they didn't feel that it was worth it to put the correction on the same account where they shared the original lie. I find that very, very telling.
Which usually just, you know, they're stabbing themselves in the back because that gets more coverage. The fact that they posted it on their sub account gets more coverage than it would if they posted it on their regular account.
Right. Like, they're not doing themselves any favors. Speaking of not doing themselves any favors, Chris Van Hollen's at it again. If you're not familiar with Chris Van Hollen, consider yourself lucky. He's the senator from Maryland. He's also a goober. He didn't make my list today for the poll question. But rest assured, he is Gooberville, USA. He's the guy who flew to El Salvador and TikToked his way there the entire time to try to free Kilmar Arbrego Garcia. He ends up getting there, and they're like, yeah, we're not letting you in. And he's big mad about it. You know, so mad, he once again starts rolling on TikTok to tell his followers. He ends up getting a meeting with Kilmar, the alleged MS-13 gangbanger / human trafficker. At least that's what he's charged with. I think those charges are pending. And he gets in there for this photo shoot. And that's when the margaritas start flowing. They get some sort of fancy drink, some salt-rimmed or sugar-rimmed drink. I believe there was a cherry involved. And he claims, Van Hollen and his team said, that they were set up. As Nancy Pelosi once said, I take responsibility for being set up at that hair salon during COVID. That was part of this story, is that it wasn't Chris Van Hollen's fault that he's such an idiot that he would travel all the way to El Salvador to try and victimize Kilmar Arbrego Garcia, or to sympathize or make this guy seem sympathetic. It's not his fault that he's such a moron that he would do that. It's whoever put those drinks in front of him who was setting him up for failure. The saboteur, a sugar-rimmed carrying, drink-carrying saboteur was in his sights, and that's what did it. So this man hasn't stopped, though. He got a taste of the limelight with that. And maybe the limes, too, depending on what he was drinking. And he hasn't stopped since. And I remember, Taylor, when we covered this story, because it was like a six-day run of that story. It was just too good to be true. You had said, oh, yeah, he definitely thinks he's going to be president now. Like, this is something that put him on the map. We'd never heard of this guy before. And suddenly, he's the new face of the resistance. The problem is, the resistance is so fickle. The resistance is changing at warp speed at all times that the heroes come and go. So you don't really get longer than 15 minutes. So Chris Van Hollen's trying to revive that attention that he received. And so he and other Democrats decide that they're going to stage a sit-in. And they go to an ICE facility in Baltimore. And they sit down. I don't know if there was singing involved. There were other clowns there, other Democrat clowns. But Tom Holman, the border czar, was asked about this stunt. Because remember, when when Trump or any Republican would go to the border during the Biden administration, 4 years of this influx, 4 years of this surge that Joe Biden requested at the border, numbers like we'd never seen, a complete catastrophe. Anytime a Republican would go there and express interest in addressing, let's say, the hundreds of thousands of missing children that vanished after they came through this open border, they were accused by Karine Jean-Pierre of political stunts. That was a word she loved. Stunts. It's just a political stunt. It's a photo op. It's a political stunt. Now we have Padilla rushing in to interrupt Kristi Noem. We have the Newark representatives, you know, body slamming ICE agents. And we're supposed to believe that this is all authentic, that none of this is stunts. These are people who are really passionate about helping MS-13 gang members and child rapists. And so they're overcome with emotion and they just can't help themselves. So now Chris Van Hollen and his gaggle of friends are at this ICE facility in Baltimore. And they're staging this.
So I'm here in front of the Fallon Federal Building in Baltimore. And we just tried to go up and visit one of the ICE facilities in this building that is used essentially to house people who have been taken out of their neighborhoods in Maryland.
Yeah, so this is what he does. And Tom Holman was asked about this stunt. And I absolutely loved his reply to Chris Van Hollen. Can I hear this, Taylor? I thought we had Holman on the cut sheet. Do we not hear? Oh my God, I could have sworn I saw it. Well, I'll just read you guys a little bit of what he had to say. Tom Holman is saying that Chris Van Hollen is a joke, that he's an embarrassment, and he's right, because this is... Oh, okay, we got to hear.
Senator Van Hollen is at it again. He once defended the Maryland man who had a criminal record as well, was a part of the cartel. Now he's defending the people in Maryland. And the Homeland Security Secretary made it very clear. Look at the records. These are some of the monsters, as she put it, that he's defending. We got a full screen of it where you can see her Twitter post of all of the people with records that he was defending. What is your response to the senator?
He's an embarrassment to the position he holds. The Democrats are upset because we're proving every day what a national security threat, a public safety threat the Biden administration allowed. And he was silent. Him and the other Democratic leaders were silent. Why women and children being sex trafficked at record numbers, a record number of Americans dying from fentanyl, a record number of known suspected terrorists coming across the border. They're embarrassed because we're proving exactly what they did. And President Trump is keeping his promise to American people, and they can't stand it. They want to flip the script. They want to mismessage the American people. Well, it's not working.
Yeah, it really is embarrassing that you have someone like Senator Chris Van Hollen. And Rachel Morin's mother mentioned that she never really heard from him. Maybe he gave her a phone call, but he never had this level of passion when it came to addressing the murder of her daughter. He didn't care. But when it comes to Maryland father Kilmer Abrego Garcia, this guy's tripping all over himself to express his worry and his sympathy and his fear for this man who has MS-13 gang member tattoos on his knuckles. It's like, this is his primary concern. And I just got to say, I know he's doing these sit-ins and whatnot, but he should really try a sit-in at like a Chili's, because at least that way you can kill multiple birds with one stone. You know, you're at the Chili's, you're doing a sit-in, you get the cameras there. They'll probably like the publicity. And then you get your margaritas while you're there, and you don't have to ask somebody else to bring them. You don't have to wait until after the sit-in ends. You can get it all done at once. But that's my idea for Chris Van Hollen. And I think that if he can get enough play from that, then maybe being president isn't that far off. I will say, as far as being president goes, I've been reading that Kamala Harris wants to try again in 2028. Please do. Please do. And that Democrats are in a panic. They don't want her to try again. They don't feel as though her first go at it was a huge success, mostly because she burned through. Like, how much money did she burn through? Was it $1 billion that she burned through in 3 months?
$1 billion.
She left them in arrears. And I had heard for a while from Democrats like Eric Swalwell, the goober man, that it's because we didn't have enough time. Like, she just didn't have enough time to get people didn't have enough time to get to know her, getting to know you, getting to know all about you. And I would argue we had too much time. I would argue that she would have been better off if Biden had dropped out a month before. And then she could have just, you know, she could have just tried to ride that little joy bump into Election Day. But the fact that she had 3 months, she was really able to dig herself into a hole with all of these kind of rap concerts and celebrity endorsements and non-answers on The View and disastrous answers everywhere else. We got to know her too well. But now I guess Democrats are so panicked about her running that they're going to try to scooch her into the gubernatorial race in California in hopes that that will satisfy her and she'll leave the presidential running to other people like Pete Buttigieg and Cory Booker and I'm sure Elizabeth Warren. This is going to be the same old, same old. It's going to be the same crop of people with hopefully some additions like Jasmine Crockett. Hopefully Jasmine Crockett and her locked screen photo of herself and AOC and other young Democrats can come through and also run in the next election. I have one more thing to say, Taylor, before we go to break.
And I've yes, you have a rant.
I've definitely given this rant before on the show, and I apologize if I sound like a broken record, but every once in a while it comes up, and I just feel it is so important to say. You know I love a donut, Taylor. You know I love a glazed donut. And when I treat myself to a glazed donut, something that drives me absolutely bonkers is if the donut comes out of the bag, like it did today, I take it out of the bag, I'm so excited to eat it. It's going to be the highlight of my day. And it's wet. It's a wet donut. That is not
gross. Yeah.
We need to have like common sense glazed control here because glazed does not mean wet. If the donut looks like it's sweating or it looks like it went in the pool, I don't want it. I want it to have a crystallized crunch casing around it. I want to be able to bite into it and flakes of glaze to fall off. I don't want to have to hold it in my hand.
You want it to look like Hunter Biden was using your office.
Yes.
Once you're done with that donut.
Yes. And I got that today. And I was just like, I'm not going to name the establishment. I'm sure you guys could probably guess. But I thought...
Well, that's your first problem. And I've told you this many times. If you're going for donuts, you need to go all the way. You can't go to the double D, or it's a single D now, right?
But I'm getting them more often than the average person. And so I can't always...
Okay.
I can't always stop at like a specialty because now I have people on Twitter because that was the other thing, Taylor. The app has this option where if you're ordering ahead and you want to get a donut, you can click surprise me, which I think is crazy that people have the person at the store decide what kind of donut you're going to get, but whatever. But I'm getting them more frequently than the average. So I can't always go to like an artisan donut shop. Sometimes I just got to, you know, I just got to make do with what's going on.
Not necessarily artisan, but a place that specializes in donuts is probably your best bet. Back in the day, when Dunkin' used to make their donuts in-house, they were great. They were fine. But that's not the way it is anymore. They're all trucked in, and it's garbage.
I was very disappointed by that. I was like, are you kidding me? I didn't even eat it. That's how mad I was.
When I used to work at Honeydew, there was a baker there very early in the morning making all of the baked goods for the day, including the donuts. So it was fresh and it was good, decent stuff. I mean, it still didn't hold up to the local shops, but it's not that way anymore.
It got the job done. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for anything exceptional. I'm just asking to get the job done. When we come back, we'll talk to Howie Carr. We've got a lot more to get to. Are you sending a son or daughter off to college this year? Well, think of sending them off with an American-made Western razor. The quality is A+. You can actually feel it right when you get it out of the box, the beautiful packaging. You can feel the weight of this razor, and it's so different from the other razors you've probably experienced. It's going to completely change the way you shave. And I know that because not only do I use Western Razor, but Taylor uses it as well.
I love my Western Razor. And throughout its lifetime, which is really my lifetime and then some because it's such a well-built product that's going to last generations, it's going to save me thousands of dollars on the cost of replacing blades that with any other, you know, modern razor out there, I'd be buying this, you know, 4 or 5 pack of these 5-bladed quantum orchestrated things. It's not necessary. And never mind that, if the actual razor breaks on one of these competitors, you're out another $30 or so. It's nonsense. Drop all that nonsense. Get yourself a Western razor. Make the investment now. It's going to pay off much sooner than you think. You're going to be saving so much money on replacement blades. Their blades, made in America, are pennies on the dollar compared to their competitors. And you just get this really luxurious shave experience with Western Razor and all of the accoutrements that they offer, all of the accessories that you can get to up your shaving game.
So go to westernrazor.com and put in code GRACE to save 10% and up your shaving game. And again, that's westernrazor.com. Don't forget to use code GRACE when you purchase your razor. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. The car crossover is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson, Mass. Enjoy a buying experience that is easy, personalized, and moves at your own pace. Truck buying the way you want it to be. Tux Trucks GMC is also a Fisher Plow distributor, so go to TuxTrucksGMC.com. That's TuxTrucksGMC.com. One thing I know Howie Carr loves to talk about is when taxpayers are on the hook for some boondoggle billions of dollars worth of expenses. In the case of this latest Senate report, Howie, it seems that the rail we often talk about, the notorious high-speed rail project in California, costing the taxpayers a lot of money.
Yeah, but that's, you know, there's so many reports coming out about this stuff. How about the latest on the EV chargers, the $7.5 billion? Well, now they've had 4 years to spend that $7.5 billion, and we're up to 384 charging stations. That works out to, I do the math, $19 million per charging station.
Wow, that's a bargain.
It is. They said they were going to have, I think, 30,000 by 2030. So they're in half the time, they're like 0.1% of the way there.
Making strides the Democrat way. Right. Yeah, there's so much.
Did you see too? They were building windmills near roads and railroads. You know that what a good idea that is. I mean, what do utility crews do this time of year, Grace? They go around to the streets and they chop down branches off near the utility lines, right? So they don't fall down. So the Biden and Buttigieg administration was trying to build windmills close to things like power lines, roads, railroads, so that there could be more disasters.
Yeah, and this is also on the heels. The
windmills don't even give you any shade, unlike trees.
And this is also on the heels of finding out that Pete Buttigieg wasn't interested in updating the air traffic controller equipment because he didn't want more planes, because he said, what would that do for me? This man is just, it's really embarrassing. Howie Carr is coming up next. You don't want to miss it. I'll see you all tomorrow for our Thursday show.
Look at the little railroad he's built.